Hey, Rebels. My name is Matthew Barton. Welcome to the Rebellion Brewing Podcast. The Sask film industry has taken a few lumps over the last few years, but there are still plenty of things happening locally to celebrate. Today, I'm sitting down with Trevor Grant to talk about the Regina International Film Festival, Look, and his work nurturing future filmmakers. Trevor, welcome to the show.
Matt, thanks a lot for having us. Appreciate it. Love what you're doing.
How's it going?
Good. I'm doing very well. Thank you.
What's your day look like today? I mean, I'm out here in Regina. It's hot as hell. Where are you at?
I'm on Prince Edward Island. I have a place here as well. And because all of our lives, the last 10 years, a lot of it you can do online. I worked out here a fair bit in the summertime. So today I was doing some work on Look, as a matter of fact, some university work and looking out the windows and, you know, daydreaming.
In my imagination, it's such a magical place.
Yeah, it's all, you know, agriculture that rolls right down to the ocean. So prairie boy, it's couldn't be more ideal.
Let's start off with the film festival. Give me the lowdown on that.
So the Regina International Film Festival and Awards is August 9th to 13th. As it has been for the last few years, it's primarily online. When COVID hit, we had to stop being a on-location film festival. And this year, we had to decide in February whether to come back to in-person in Regina or stay remote. And because who knew what was going to happen with COVID in February, if you commit to an in-person or on-location and you can't deliver, it's a nightmare. So, but what we have done is the Look screening for the Look program and Saskatchewan short film screenings are going to be in Regina, also available online and screened at theaters.
So people can choose where they want to be.
Yeah. So for Look, for example, it's only offered at the Rainbow Cinema. Everything else in the festival is, aside from Sask short film, is all online, and you can get tickets at the RIFA website via Film Freeway. And there's all kinds of things to pick from, either a week pass or for international films or horror films or whatever it is that turns your crank, as it were, Matt.
I'm a big sci-fi guy. I like horror. I like everything. Yeah. I used to work for Alliance Atlantis, and that was doing movie promo. So we'd get free tickets multiple times a month, and I'd just give them out to everybody on campus and poster the campus and try to encourage people to go out to films. So you're twisting my arm here, trying to convince me to go watch movies.
Well, a lot healthier than usual college antics of raves and initiation rites and all of those things that are, you know, happily going away, I think.
The secret handshake, skull and
bones. Yeah, the secret handshake, right.
What is your background in film?
So I started in the late 80s at the CBC, and over the years had different positions, and I became an executive producer of arts and entertainment. But felt I wanted to start my own company and focus on documentaries more. So I ended up for 25 years with a company I had called Roadhouse Pictures, directing docs and TV series and Sesame Street and music and all that kind of stuff. It was great. And then I was asked to do a guest lecture at the School of Journalism at the University of Regina. And I came away with this really funny feeling, Mac, like just odd feeling. I couldn't figure out what it was. And I realized it was patience and empathy. Two things I wasn't known for in the professional world, but I really connected, right? That these were students who were really passionate about journalism and about telling stories. And it was just really, really exciting. So, you know, I did what I had to do education-wise, and the position came open, and I applied. In 2015, I started teaching at the School of Journalism.
From my personal experience, when I was at the J School, they kind of put you into print or broadcast, but I distinctly recall the documentary kind of piece of the assignment was one of the most memorable, best learning experiences I ever had.
Oh, great, great. Yeah, they're a ton of fun for me. And a lot of our grad students come in and they want to do documentary projects, about 85% of them. And they've done some outstanding work, and they filmed in Iraq and Nigeria and Malaysia, all over the world. anyway, it's great to be involved in this way as well, now that I'm getting to be a bit of what some may refer to as a geezer.
So you have this documentarian experience, you worked in the journalism thing. You're kind of fueling what's happening with the film festival, right? Like you're pulling all these pieces together.
Yeah. So my role is simply, I'm on the board, but my sole responsibility is for the LOOK program. It's a mental health film initiative. And I got on the board because the president, John Timothy, came to me when they were first starting up several years ago, see if I'd like to be on the board. And I was, you know, sounded pretty interesting, but then he mentioned they were trying to kickstart a film program for youth with a substantial mental illness and help them make their own films. And I thought, that I want to get involved in. So that's really when I came on board RIFA. And most of my focus has been on starting up and developing and maintaining the LOOK program.
Explain it to me like I'm six, because I'm going to be like a six-year-old on this.
Okay.
What is LOOK?
There you go. Okay, so LOOK, a mental health film initiative, is a program that is designed for people around the age of 18 to 25. Each of them has a substantial mental illness, bipolar, schizophrenia, you know, and they are under the treatment of healthcare professionals. So they apply to come into the program, and what the program does is we help each student produce their own film, be it a documentary, a short film, animation. It's absolutely their creation. So they come in with not even any ideas. And over the course of 21 weeks, we work with them from idea to through creative storytelling and discussion and labs and use cameras. And next thing you know, 21 weeks later, they're delivering 10 to 15 minute films of their own, the very first time they've ever made a film.
I know we could take it for granted when we say that there's some stigma around mental illness, especially in the workplace. I'm assuming it's the same for creatives. Why is this program important?
Very good question, Matt, and thanks for asking that one. It's important, as you mentioned, stigma is one of the big ones. And for example, the first year of LOOK, almost all of the films were credited to anonymous or first name only. Only one of the students would attend the public screening, the showcase of all their films, because they didn't want anybody to know that they had a mental illness. So these aren't people of my generation. These are basically teens and young adults. So stigma is part of it. The other one is that often for creatives in high school, with or without mental illness issues, there's not a lot of places for you to, you know, put your creative energies in. And often you just kind of feel like you're on the outside. So these are all kind of like-minded people. And the third reason why I think it matters is that we've seen an incredible growth in a lot of the kids and students that come, from being nominated in Yorkton for best animation short to having confidence. One is now in film school at the university, now in some fine arts. So we're not taking credit for that. But what we're saying is that in the program, they have the confidence to express who they are. And a lot of the films are kind of about mental illness, but they're from their own very unique perspective, right? Everybody sees the world differently. So they're really intimate and some really, really powerful and frank and authentic and honest films. Some of the, you know, I still get the shivers when I see some of the ones we produced this year. They're like, they blow me away. I mean, how can you make that under all the pressure that you have in your life? And you're 19 years old. You've got a substantial mental illness. You're having issues at school, issues at home. There's money trouble. There's going to the hospital, you know, all of that, right? Sometimes you're out for 2 weeks. And yet somehow comes through the program and at the end of it have this really special and unique film. It's just like, it amazes me.
What is the film that gives you shivers?
Okay, well, there's three this year. All of them do for different reasons. One of them called Before It Took Her, for example, is an incredibly evocative and poignant and brutal. It's a very gentle film, but it's very brutal subconsciously. When you see it subtextually, you'll fear for this person throughout the film. She wrote it, produced it, directed it, edited it, wrote a poem for it, did the artwork for it, all the soundscape, all of the graphic design. She did everything. And she'd never really done that before. So that's a very powerful one to me. And another one is called Illness, the Mentality of It. And the interesting thing is that the person who made the film is never in the film. it starts with his dad talking about how he figured what he, how he thinks his son is, right? And then he took that interview and he didn't want to be there for it. And then he made a film based on his dad's perceptions of him. And another one is called by Kayla Mack Harrison. She's a return student. She was in our first group. She did an amazing documentary. She came back into an advanced program and she produced kind of a part two. The first one was about bipolar disorder and it was just dark and depths of despair. But 2 years later, she's found a lot of light, you know, in her life. And so this new film is really cool, a juxtaposition to the first one, right? About how she now sees color and she can now feel and all of that. So those are three examples from this year that really had an impact on me.
Are these films available online or exclusively for the festival? Is there a way people can, if they're listening to this, is there a way they can go look at them?
Yes. Yeah, so they're locked down until after RIFA. So RIFA, being a controlling organization, won't let anybody see anything until it's premiered at RIFA, right? So, and this is part of the RIFA Academy. So obviously we want to do that. But as of the 10th of August, it will be available on our website, lookfilms.ca, and probably on a RIFA page as well, and we have a YouTube channel.
So you said, and I want to circle back to this. You said students in that first year were afraid to put their names on it,
yeah,
on their work. And it just sparks in my mind, man, artists are always trying to get credit because everybody's trying to rip them off all the time. And this is the opposite. These kids don't want to put their name on it. How do you overcome that? Or what did you think that first year?
Well, you know, confidentiality was a big deal, right? You know, we signed confidentiality waivers, all of that kind of stuff. And so no photographs or anything, but everybody, all of the students and their guardians or parents or whoever was involved were really big on it because they felt it could destroy the child's life. If people knew that this person had schizophrenia, they would never look at them the same again. And that's absolutely true. The majority of people, if I'm talking to you, Matt, and I turn my back, somebody whispers, Matt's schizophrenic, when I turn around, chances are I'm going to look at you differently right away because it's so deeply ingrained in people, that word. So they're trying to protect their children themselves from, you know, being up against it before they even get started in life, really. But then over time, it's changed. And part of it is, I think, because this last round was longer because of COVID. We broke for a while. But we really were together for 18 months. So everybody got so comfortable that they felt like, you know what? I'm not ashamed of myself. I'm really not, right? I made this film and as you say, Matt, I want the credit because it's a damn good film. Seriously, I think that at the end of the day, you're right. That's kind of what broke the dam, was that they want people to know, right?
I mean, silence creates fear. Like, the unknown creates fear. And showing the humanity of a person, of a creator, of an artist, can help, I think in my mind, destigmatize and humanize and do you think these films are trying to achieve some of that, or maybe this work achieves some of that?
Well, Matt, that's really is our main goal. Is part of it is to get the conversation around mental illness started through these films because they are intimate. And we did have a screening for family a few months ago, right after we finished. And the response was very powerful. Some of the parents had no idea how their kids saw the world or how their child saw the world. So it seems to be filling a really deep kind of creative need in these students. Like it's something it's almost tangible, right? This is my film. I can express myself however I want. And yeah, I'll edit it in the dark, but someday I know I've got to show it to people. And you know, Matt, that we can do all kinds of things to forget that someday people are going to hear or see it. And then all of a sudden it's a terrible shock when you hit Spotify and there's Matt Martin's podcast all of a sudden.
Whoops. I guess, you know, you had 18 months, you had an extra long time to work with these students. There, you had to have like one cherry story that you're never going to forget. And you just like 5 years from now, you'll be sitting with pints of her friends saying, you know what? This I got to tell you this story. What is that one story?
Here comes the cherry. I hope you think it's one. It is to me. It actually started a while ago when I like to meet the students before they come in just to say hi and get to know them so we feel more comfortable when it starts. And one student came in. She was about 19. She had on a hoodie and a ball cap on top of her hoodie, a big backpack, looking down at the floor. Came in my office. She was trembling. I wouldn't look at me. But the responses she gave me, though, were pretty interesting. Anyway, she came on board, and I was hoping she could stick with it. And within about 6 weeks, she'd taken over Look. And she was becoming a leader. She was helping people. No hoodie, no hat. Everything was going great. And she was producing a great film. And then it hit. And she was in the hospital for 3 weeks. But she scrabbled her way out of that, got back into the program, finished her film. And now she's coming back as a mentor and a leader into her third year. So I think for a cherry story, like it is that to me because it's a tangible outcome, right? And because she is, if nothing else, she is a creative beast, like times 10. And I think the obstacle that she has in front of her, and she has many beyond what I can tell you here, is just, you know, it's that creative force. She just keeps, you know, she'll be in the hospital, she'll get out, and she'll just keep going to get this done, right? So yeah, then I look at other students sometimes that aren't in Look at about her age, and I think, you know, you got to turn it up a notch because she's killing it.
you have the wind at your back, so you're running the race, right. And you're saying, hey, you should be going even a little bit faster.
That's right. Yeah. So, you know, and then there's just really cool moments when somebody, one of the students who may not have really had much to say for weeks, will all of a sudden come out with a great story idea. Or this one, Hannah, who did this great animated film, had never done one before. We brought in people to help her with animation, and we helped her with story. And she would all, and I'd just say, Hannah, did that make sense to you? And did you get that? And she would just nod, and I'm thinking, well, I'm not sure. Then she'd bring in a rough cut, and it's nothing at all like anybody told her to do. And quickly, this is her own vision, and she would not be pushed off it, right? She's very polite, but she wanted to give us the finger and say, just stand back and let me do my film, right? So we did, and that's the one that ended up being nominated in Yorkton for Best Animation Short. So yeah, I mean, you know, she stood up for herself, she had a vision, and she knew enough to protect it.
So you have the film festival coming up, and people can register to watch online, or they can hop on down to the Rainbow Cinemas. I'm going to include links in the show notes, but if people want to go view these films or want to find out more, where should they go?
So two good places are lookfilms.ca and riffa.ca. So Look Films also, if anybody's interested in being a student and joining our program, there's information in there on when our next round is, how to apply. You know, because we get more and more applications every year. And we keep it small and intimate just because that's what we need to do. But Look, website has all the information you'll ever need about the program. And RIFA has all the information you need about the film festival and about the this August, but also the overview of what RIFA does.
Parting shot. I keep seeing the news about the changes in the grants for the film industry. What are your thoughts about the Saskatchewan's future in film?
Well, I think, you know, I think it, partly because of there's some pioneers still in the province who lobbied for the film industry hard, and they haven't let anybody forget what happened a decade or so ago. So I actually have high hopes. There's a lot of talent in this province, a lot of great ideas. You know, Saskatchewan crews have a reputation for work ethic bar none. I've directed shows all over and used a lot of crews from Toronto and New York and all that. And I, honest to God, I've never worked with better people than I have with Saskatchewan crews. So we have a lot of up-and-coming filmmakers. And I think part of the trick is to look at the feature films, but also look at things like Look students are doing, you know, short experimental films, which are pretty exciting. So, I mean, I think your outlook is rosy, my friend. Very rosy indeed.
Awesome. When you're back in Regina, you have to sit down with me. We'll tell old war stories about working in media.
Okay.
And if you still drink, we'll have a pint.
Okay. All right. Well, I won't disclose my current status in alcohol at the moment.
No pressure. We have coffee and tea and soda.
Okay. All right.
And we'll bring out Leighton too. We'll talk about the J school. We'll shoot the
shit. Yeah. He's a great ad, man. I worked with him for 30 years, right?
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's a great fella.
He was so good to me. You know, when I think back on journalism school, there's some stuff that I just haven't forgotten. It's just seared in my memory. I can recall it like it was yesterday because it was such a novel experience. Like, I think one of the first days we walked out with the cameras, we didn't know what the hell we were doing. We just hit record.
Right.
Fucking around with the settings and walk back in, and the footage kind of looks like shit. But Robin at the time, he goes, look how saturated blue the sky is. Look how saturated green the grass is. He's like, this would be a great shot if you just do these couple extra things. Right. He's like, you got this part right. Now you can get that part right.
Right.
And I never forgot that. And I think about that all the time. Just having some kind of like dumb confidence to just try right. things.
Right. Just to try, right?
Don't worry about being perfect.
No, because, perfect sucks, right? How boring can you get, right? Seriously, I'm a mess, and that's why I'm still interested in life.
Okay, I'm going to make you tell me that story over pints.
Okay, all right, okay.
Trevor, thanks for your time today.
Matt, it was really good to meet you. I appreciate it very much. Take care.
Cheers. Rebels, thanks for listening today. If you have any questions or comments about this episode, be sure to join us on our brand new Facebook group page, The Rebellion Brewing Podcast. I'm going to include links to Look and Riffa in the show notes. Be sure to check it out. I'm also proud to let you know we're members of the Saskatchewan Podcast Network. It's a one-stop shop for tons of locally produced shows from across our province. You can find them at saspodcastnetwork.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Untappd so you don't miss out on the latest in SAS craft beer news. Thank you for joining the Rebellion.